All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone loving to this.
Yo, Bob, where the fuck is Stan?
Welcome. Welcome to Sunday Papers with Mike Gibbons.
And Greg Fitzsimmons.
Welcome to Sunday Papers.
Read all about it from Atlanta, Georgia. What up, y'all?
I'm here. Did you plug in your headphones?
I did. Pressed record.
You got everything going.
You don't need to produce me. I got this shit down.
Well, if I was producing you, I'd put a little less of an angle on that camera. You tried to fix it. What about a roll of toilet paper on its side?
For the lighting?
No, it's just you're very ominous. For the listeners, I know this is a real treat. But Greg, the angle is shooting very from down low up to his head.
Oh, I see. Under the computer.
Yeah.
Like that. Oh,
that's way better.
Yeah, all right. Hold on. Let me get a pillow.
Oh, this is good listening right here. This is good listening. Hey, everybody. How's it going? What a week. Greg didn't let me look up our Oscar picks. They're on YouTube. He wouldn't tolerate the time it would take for me to look up, because I think it's a toss-up who won our Oscar picks.
Oh, yeah. We'll see about that.
Is Adrian Brody still giving his speech?
Oh, my God. Dude, that was so embarrassing and awkward and awful. And what made it 20 times worse was when he told them to give him more time. He promises not to be indulgent, or whatever the word was that he said.
He wins, right? Which I'm dead set against. But he's walking up to the stage. And I'm like, all right, this, my man, is a layup. The movie was about a Holocaust survivor who immigrated. He was an immigrant, emigrated. And then he was an immigrant to the United States and added to the country and did well. That the story's about a guy like that.
Yeah.
Now, also, someone we were watching with said both of Adrian Brody's parents are immigrants. I'm like, this speech is a layup. You can even just skirt the political things and just be positive about the history of this country and what immigration has meant to it, and also being a beacon of hope for the world and a refuge.
This is longer than Adrian Brody's speech at this point.
It's 1/8 the length, but it's a layup, my man. What does he talk about? Himself.
Yep.
The actor.
Yep. Now, and
what
the
an
whole,
idiot.
The whole thing about, like, I would have said, you know, I won an Oscar, what was it, 20 years ago that he won the Oscar? That's the story. That's kind of interesting. Hang in there, you know. But I'm tired of fucking actors telling us all to follow our dreams. Because here's the thing. You are one of a million that tries and makes it. So you're encouraging 999,999 people to sacrifice loved ones, cousins' weddings, a stable relationship because you're waiting until you make it. Yeah, it's
being a likable human being in many cases, like himself.
Being a non-narcissist. It's a fucking pyramid scheme. That's what fame is. And all they do is tell you to follow your dream because that's what keeps you in squalor and somehow complacent, watching America's Got Talent or The Masks, whatever. I don't watch those fucking shows. I'm just tired of watching, like, some 14-year-old thanking his mother for helping him follow his dream. It's like, you're 14. If my mom had helped me follow my dream at 14, it would have been a felony. Was she going to help me orchestrate a three-way with my piano teacher and my tutor? That was my dream.
Whoa. Your dream, in hindsight, seems very achievable.
No, they were both in their 30s.
Nice. That is a good dream. Are you saying Adrian Brody's trying to keep people down?
Yeah, that's
or he's
right.
Just clueless?
I just think that he's in that mindset. He's in that American mindset that you're going to be exceptional. And there's no respect for the craftsman or the teacher. It's all about this guy who, it seems like the only reason this guy went to acting classes and struggled and made it was that he could get this trophy, that this piece of hardware was the whole fucking reason. It's not about his process. Look, we've both won Emmys. I never went to the fucking ceremony. I won a Cable Ace Award. I didn't go to that. I won the BU Best Comedian Award in 1989. Wow. I was out drinking with you fucking idiots. I didn't go to the ceremony.
Look at you.
Right?
You didn't do it for all that. You did it for the drinks.
Did it for the drinks and the pussy.
Yeah, Brody, man. I don't know. It seemed very weird.
Yeah. It was weird. It was a bummer because I kind of like him, but he's a toothpick actor. He's one of those guys that will work the shit out of a toothpick in a movie. And it's
you
like
a lot of theories today.
Yeah. All right. Sitting alone in hotel rooms for a while. Actually, I was with my mom for 5 days in Florida. And
do tell.
Well,
you saw the religious painting again? Did you sleep in that room?
There was a painting in my mom's condo that was abstract, and there became an uproar from the townspeople that there was a penis in it, which is kind of a Rorschach test. Like, who is seeing the penis in this painting? And I saw it. It's not a penis. And they ended up having a condo meeting over it. And they were screaming and yelling, I don't want my grandkids coming down here and seeing pornography.
All right, hold on. I think I unwittingly tapped into something that I didn't know about. I was talking about the painting, the religious painting in your mom's bedroom. Oh. You're talking about one that's in a common area?
Yes, somebody put it up by the elevator, and it was abstract, and some saw penises, and it became like a civil war. And so in the end, they compromised, and they moved the painting down the hallway, literally like down, way the fuck down by this executive office that nobody ever goes to. And the painting was then hung upside down so that the penis was now flaccid instead of erect.
Is it rubbing up against the George O'Keefe that's right next
that's
to
right.
it?
Right.
Every morning you come down, it's turned right side up again on its own.
That was abstract.
Yeah.
We watched the news, and at one point there was a story about Israel, and she referred to the other side as hummus.
I love it.
Yep.
Does she still believe in God if our president is right and that God saved him so he could run the country?
I think she believes in God because all these prayers, she does believe that all these prayers have kept the Pope alive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a sweet thing.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And
I had an interesting thing, speaking of hummus. All right. So I teach, and we'll just keep it vague, but I teach anyway. So someone has an actor comes back, right? And he does a monologue in this live show that we put on. And so the actor in a monologue, he wrote it and he wanted like Q&A. It's an SNL course. He wanted Q&A from the audience. Someone goes, hey, since USC, did you do? And then eventually comedically gets to, and then what does that mean for your views on Palestine? He's like, did someone just bring up Palestine into this? And he's like, it's awkward. He tries to sidestep it. That's literally it. One of the professors writes an email and he goes, I just want to go on record that I am offended, or whatever the word was that he was balking. I just want to go on record that I am offended by this sketch, and I don't see why that word has to be brought up, especially as I don't view that Palestine exists. It's like,
wow.
Whoa. I go, what?
A professor wrote this?
Yes.
Oh,
and I'm like,
die. Fucking
and of course,
die.
I write my email. You know, of course, all I want to write is an email. Like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? And no one brought up the word country. Anyway, It's amazing how myopic people can be and how like one issue people can be. And it's everything. I'm not talking about just that you know, part of the region of the world. It can be whatever. Maybe abortion is your one issue. Maybe Irish cause is your... Oh, by the way, I started watching that show. Say Nothing.
And oh, yeah.
Anyway, whatever your issue is, it could be anything. And but it really is amazing how it can blind you and then everything looks like a nail because you're walking around with that hammer.
Yeah, it's intense, you know? And that's why I love bringing it up on stage. It's like, that's the great thing about stand-up comedies. It's the last place... You're the first place you can't say things. Stand-up comedy is the last place you can't say things. It's and literally the best premise for a joke is abortion. I mean, in good hands, with the preparation of good jokes. You know,
must be experienced doctor. Wait, is the doctor making jokes? What I missed? Are we in the OR?
Well, that's what I said last night. I go, can you get... I was on stage. I go, can you get an abortion in Georgia? And somebody goes, somewhat. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? What do you just like punch the lady in the stomach or something?
Somewhat is the greatest answer. Maybe that'll be official. Like, all right, here are the states that's outlawed. Here's the states that's legal. Here are the somewhat states.
So somewhat meant that they only have 6 weeks, which means, first of all, a woman has a period every 4 weeks, five if she's late. So now you got to fucking, look at a dry tampon and then sprint to the fucking abortion clinic.
You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to make sure that any of these virgin pregnancies, you know, that will, you know, the second coming of Christ, that it's too late because they haven't even had sex. They're not on the lookout for it. All of a sudden they're like, oh my God, I'm carrying the Savior. It's like, yeah, but you're week seven. It's too late. You got to deliver the Savior.
Why is it? Why is this such a big thing for Christians? Because originally, I believe it had to do with population and Christian soldiers, and they wanted more Christians out there to fight in the Holy Wars. But why do you think abortion is such a huge issue right now for Christians?
I mean, I think they believe that God, or whatever that is for them, God or Jesus, whatever it is, it says it's killing innocent human.
Yeah, but they think everybody's a sinner except them. So really, you're killing mostly bad people, according to that logic.
Okay, even their logic, right? Right, because even other religions, why wouldn't you want another religion killing their fetuses?
Yes,
because they're, you know, the dirtiest people in the world.
And uncleansed. It's actually just the opposite happens, because the wealthy white elite Christians, their daughters are going to get abortions. They will pay. There will be a way to get private abortions done, of course. And who's going to have the babies are the Latinos and the blacks who can't afford that kind of care. So you're basically you're working against yourself if you look at it in those terms.
Good point. Solid abortion point.
All right,
man.
We are officially off the algorithm for today.
Already?
My mother went to see Anora. You know, her condo has movie nights on Tuesday night, and so
are they going to put up a painting of Anora in the lobby?
So, all right, now that you know the makeup of these people, try to imagine that whoever's in charge of movies picked Anora for the Tuesday night screening. So everybody showed up, and my mom said they were walking out like it was a fundraiser. It was just like, and of course, the first 10 minutes of the movie is like a montage of VIP rooms at a strip club.
Yeah.
And my mother went with my brother. I go to them. I go, do not show up on time, Bobby. You do not want to sit next to mom for the first 10 minutes of this movie. So they actually went late, but still saw a ton of shit.
Oh, well, also, that scene goes on forever. So they probably caught the end of it, even if they were 15 minutes late.
Yep. And then you also got the scene where she's having sex with the young guy and trying to get him not to come as fast, Mom, how is the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, so people walked out, and they went. I go, do you guys want to bring some snacks to the movie? And so I looked in her cupboard, and I found some potato chips with...
Christ on them.
No, with the Super Bowl from... I looked it up from 3 years ago, stamped on the potato chip.
They're so caked in preservatives. Don't you worry about that. They're salted as if they're going out to sea for 3 years, and then they're also have chemicals.
Can I tell you a joke my mother said at dinner that is now officially in my act? She goes,
I can't wait.
She goes, I talked to her about, I go, we got to, you know, you can't click on any link that you don't know because it's spam.
Oh, jeez.
And then the hackers are going to get your passwords. And she goes, well, good. Then maybe they can tell me what they are. So perfect. I've got some version of that I'm working on right now. I don't know the wording, but that's the idea. It's very funny.
That's great.
Yeah.
So the Oscars, so we should go over our picks from last week, which will be funny. But since last week, I saw Nickel Boys, I saw Sing Sing. And I like those movies more than any other movie this year, those two movies. And then I'm trying to see I'm Still Here, which the New York Times came out with an article the morning of the Oscars saying, at least that journalist at the New York Times, that that was their favorite movie and also that she should win Best Actress. She won the Golden Globe for Best Actress from I'm Still Here. It's Brazilian. And I don't know if I should say it's Brazilian because I think it's an American filmmaker, Celis or whatever his name is. But anyway, I want to see that. Last night I saw September 5th, and that's very good also.
It's a documentary about September 5th?
No, it's a movie. It's a dramatic movie, though, but it almost all takes place. It feels like it's in real time, but I guess it's 2 days, I guess. It takes place in the control room in Munich during the 73 Olympic Games.
Wow.
72 Olympic Games.
Wow, no shit. That's interesting. That's interesting.
So, you know, Spielberg had Munich a couple of years ago, whatever it was. This is about, and it was a very young Rune Arledge who eventually went on to run both sports and news at ABC. He's a young guy there, and he's like the, you know, kind of manager there. And it goes down. They start doing groundbreaking stuff. The sports, because news is back in the States, sports starts doing groundbreaking stuff to cover this giant story that fell in their laps. And then news is like, all right, move over. And Peter Jennings is in the center of it. And their news is like, move over. And they're like, not a chance. This is our story.
I went to high school with Rune Arledge's son, Rune Arledge Jr.
Rune was a powerful guy.
He was. And that... that was a very interesting story because it was, you know, the IRA had taken hold, the troubles had already started in Northern Ireland, and the PLO was very much affected and informed by how this type of guerrilla warfare could be used.
Yeah.
And it put them on the map. I hate to say it. It was so successful for the Palestinians to get some attention for themselves.
It was interesting. They were like, what word do we use to describe them? And then there's a German girl there who is their translator. And she's like, he's like, what do you, because I forget what they first were calling them. And then they're like, what do you use? And she said it in German. She's like, what's the translation? She's like, terrorist. And the whole room was like, whoa. Like, so that wasn't used yet.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. There were a couple of things. I'm forgetting the other one. Another one was whatever. It's boring. But they basically invented this bug where, like, you know, on the lower right, you'll see NBC, just light. It's see-through, but you see kind of the texture of the... It's basically the logo, so you know when you're watching the feed from that network. And they created that during this.
Wow.
Because their feed was being taken from them.
Yeah,
where they had to share it with CBS. They're like, we'll put a bug up. They're like, oh, my God, that's genius.
Should we announce our friend's movie that's out?
Yeah, it's out today, which is Friday.
I already watched half of it. Tom O'Neill's book, Chaos, is now on Dude, I opened up Netflix today, and it was front and center. It was the main movie they're pushing right now. And, I mean, you talk about true crime. I mean, there was In Cold Blood, which is, what's his name? Truman Capote. And I believe that Tom's book is up there with that in terms of the real, like, genesis of true crime was the Manson murders. And Tom's angle on it, it captures that, and then it also captures a journalist who is hell-bent on sifting through bullshit theories and coming up with the truth about something. And that's
not only that, if I may interrupt, sorry, not only that, he is actively criticizing and systematically breaking down and taking apart arguably the biggest true crime book of all time, Helter Skelter.
Yes, he takes it apart, he debunks it, and what he does is, as a real journalist, does not tell you in the end, this is exactly what happened. He says right in the book and then right in the movie, he says, I cannot place Jolly West and Charles Manson in the same room. Jolly West was running the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic in 1967. Manson had a weekly appointment at that same clinic. It was not a big clinic. It held about a dozen people. He says, but I don't have a person who witnessed them together. But anyway, long story short, check it out. Tom doesn't love it. I think that's an
understatement.
Well, I think it's impossible to take a book that was 700 pages long that was condensed from what he's working on now, which is a second book that'll probably be as long, and turn it into a 90-minute documentary. It's absurd to even try. It should have been a docuseries.
It's reviewed everywhere. I think there's one review in particular that Tom O'Neill thinks nails it, like sort of the disconnect from the book and what Errol Morris decided to do in the documentary with the limited time he had, what his focus was. And then I guess the New York Times has a review today, and I think it's close to being satisfactory for Tom. That might not be true, but I think I gleaned that through
all
the
text. Well, the Times loves it. The Times thinks it's a good... Well, they also love Tom's book. It's... anyway, I got to watch the second half, but I don't think it's terrible. I just think it's not giving due the respect to his process as much. And it's, you know, Errol Morris, who is a very award-winning. He's considered one of the top documentary directors of the last 30 years. He gets a little too into his graphics and pauses. And it's like, dude, you got a lot of shit to get to. Move up the fucking pace a little bit here.
Yeah. Also, he shows himself a lot. Now, Errol's become, he's put himself in his documentaries.
Yeah.
And he's moved over to being incredibly stylized with not only the interviews, but the reenactments and all that stuff.
Well, we're going to have Tom O'Neill on the podcast next week to do an interview.
Nice.
And get his feedback on the movie. I don't think he's going to sit here and badmouth it, but he can at least tell you what he would have done different.
All right, I don't think we should go through Oscar, but I'm not going to remember the difference between Conclave and
Amora.
Those
it's
were the things
us.
We chose the most.
We're looking forward. We're looking forward. What's going on with the koozies?
Oh, man, I have a koozie update. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Now, some guy, Andrew, I don't want to out these people, but I'll tell you where Andrew's from. God damn it, I don't know where Andrew. Andrew M., last initial M., I did send it. I think I sent it on October 3rd. Have you still not gotten it, Andrew? Okay, that's one. Now, I have questions for a couple of people. Markle. Whoops, there's the last name.
I sort of feel like these are emails more than podcast messages.
Don't you worry about that. And then, Ira. Ira in San Francisco, did you get yours? Email Greg. Email Greg, Ira in San Francisco. Did you get yours? And then Markle, and then Mike M. Markle's in Newtown there. I've just outed him. Anyway, listen, man. But here's what's going out. We got, sorry. Ace is going out.
All right.
Gary Ace. Look at this. Proof. Ace is going out today.
But what's Ace's last name?
Turns out it is. His last name. I'm not good at this. I'm outing people.
What's his first
name? His first name. That's what I was hoping. And then we have, I'm going to do it real quick. Anyway, Puget, who's not from Canada. These are all last names now. It's going out. McLeaf and Gonrich. They're all going out.
All right. We got a guy named Ace who is a, let's just say, a frequent writer to the website.
Well, I mean, he won a contest, so it's probably the same guy.
Yeah, I think he's probably following up.
Everyone should be pacing. John Favreau had to wait 4 years for his koozies, so.
Is his first name start with a G, Ace?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, get that to him sooner than later.
Uh-oh.
All right, we got a logo this week from Bob. Bob has been sending us some great stuff lately. This is the Tate brothers, if you didn't recognize the photo. I don't know how much that looks like you, but I like my arms. I like my ripped arms in the picture.
What do you mean it look like me? It's my face wearing a leather jacket.
It looks a little...
You mean I'm beefy?
The forehead looks a little big. I guess that is your forehead.
Let me see. Hold on. I mean, I hope they use my forehead, no?
Yeah.
Oh, all no. Right. Oh, I see what happened. Oh, that's wild.
Something's a little off, but...
No. That's like an AI. My ears are not that low. That's a different shaped face.
Yeah. I think he pastes the face into the existing head and ears.
That's my eyes and nose, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The song this week comes from Mike. It is, if it sounds familiar...
You look
Mike
great.
Mike took the theme song. I know. I like the cigar, all of it. Mike took the theme song from Your Mom's House, and he replaced their name with our name. So that'll probably get us flagged and maybe get Tom and Christina mad at us, but I thought it was funny. Thanks, Mike.
That's not worth them getting mad.
Well, just for the record, we don't do parodies. I figured that's not like a published song, so we got away with it. But please don't waste your time sending us parodies because it makes the podcast get taken down off of YouTube. And we don't
want to
lose.
It's not a parody, too, if you're not commenting on the original work.
Well, there you go.
Nerdy nerd. A million notes in television.
Corrections. Do corrections get a crinkle?
Yeah, man. Well, I can crinkle up Markle's fucking koozie. Hold on.
I don't think styrofoam koozies make a lot of noise. Hold on, let me grab something.
I have a bag that has stuff in it. I just crinkled, man.
All right.
Oh no, I got a great crinkle.
Okay, good. All right.
It's a big plastic.
Nice.
Okay.
Jesus, that's like a go in the closet and kill yourself bag.
I don't know what was in it. Let me see.
Your head eventually.
Oh, a West Elm pillow. There you go.
Jesse, Matt Rare says, Jesse James did not hide out in Atlanta. Getting out in front of the correction was a pro move. Yeah, I think I said I wasn't sure on that one. Here's the problem. I listened to the biography of Jesse James, and let me tell you something. It was one of the best biographies I've ever heard. It's fascinating. But I was falling asleep when I thought he was in Atlanta. Maybe I dreamt it because I'm there now.
Mm-hmm.
John Favreau, who's our friend, I believe he lives in Maine, said it was hilarious to hear Mike's remembering all the contestants on Alone were allowed to bring firearms since the point of the show was to outlast everyone else before starving to death. They clearly would not have been hunting wild boar if they had guns. They would have quickly started to hunt each other. Now that's a reality show.
Oh, that's the most dangerous game or something. It's an old short story, and then there's been a million things done like that. But rich guys entertaining themselves, but by hunting, they're hunting humans. But hold on, a guy did catch, I think, a boar or a wolverine, or
yeah, he used a trap.
They used knives.
Nope, Maybe a knife, but he...
Obviously, they had knives and they had hatchets. Oh, I think you could choose what you wanted to bring.
Right. But that guy
made... not a firearm.
He made a trap that fell down on the boar, which is fucking crazy. Not the boar. It was a...
Wolverine?
It was a wolverine. Way more dangerous than a boar. And boars are dangerous.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Alex...
Also, I think Favreau might have it wrong. I think they would have... put the gun in their mouth. A lot of those, yes. I saw them. That's what they would have done.
I would have. That first season was so good. I don't know why I didn't watch another season, but maybe I should.
Because the pandemic ended. It was all a hoax.
Then you got Naked and Afraid, which I think was about every girl that's ever been alone in the room with fill in the name.
Chris Denman. Alex, I call it Naked and Nauseous. Yeah.
Alex Castillo said a couple weeks ago, y'all said something about Beck being a Scientologist. His parents were Scientologists. He's not practicing. I believe he is an LA native and his parents were in music and show business and he came up in that environment but didn't take on the Scientology bits. All right.
I don't know, Alex. I'm not sure about that correction.
I think we need a correction on that correction. I believe he is... in fact, a Scientologist.
Yeah.
Dick Johnson, which I don't know if that's a real name, said, I always thought F Troop was about the American cavalry fighting the indigenous people of North America. I guess I'll have to rewatch it. Maybe you were thinking about Hogan's Heroes. Also, it's a little embarrassing knowing about both these shows. Keep up the good work.
No, those shows were really very odd and cool.
Yes, that was an interesting time in television. I guess that was the 70s, right? F Troop and Hogan's Heroes?
As you keep reading, I'm going to look up when Hogan's Heroes came out because last night watching September 5, you have to remind yourself sometimes this was 72. You're like, it was just over the Holocaust. Like, it was just over.
All right. I'm going to guess. Let me make my guesses before you look it up. I'm going to guess Hogan's Heroes and F Troop. Both came out the same year, and that year was 1976.
Okay, good guess. So I've looked up Hogan's Heroes first, 1965.
No. Really?
And, yeah, before the Olympics. And you're right. They came out the same year, dude.
They did?
Yes, 65.
Wow. Okay. I guess that was the era of TV I was talking about. Now, 70s was when they got into crazy conceptual stuff like Sigmund and the Sea Monsters and Gilligan's Island.
And it was on ABC, and Hogan's Heroes was on Hulu.
No.
What? I'm kidding. No. I don't know what channel it was
In the meantime, if you want real entertainment and not some televised bullshit, you're going to go to the Hollywood Improv on March 15th for the annual St. Patrick's Day show. Harlan Williams is confirmed. I have two very, very big names that are most likely going to be there, but I can't promote them because they're in town doing huge shows. It's always big names. We always get amazing people. Bill Burr came by last year. And then Hamilton, Ontario, Levity, March 26th. Toronto, the Comedy Bar, March 27th. Pittsburgh, the Improv, March 28th through the 30th. Then I'm coming to Boston, Torrance, Huntington, Escondido, Dayton, Tampa, Austin, La Jolla. Go to fitzdog.com. Get some tickets. Come support live comedy. We'd love to see you. Ads for this week, none, which is why.
A little follow-up. So Hogan's Heroes was also, it was on CBS, but it was created, two creators. One of them, you've seen this story. He was also a producer on The Godfather. Remember, he was hustling before The Godfather, and what he was hustling about was that he could kind of sell anything, and he sold a World War II show to CBS in 1965. Ruddy, Albert.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Literally, yeah. Got home
Albert
from.
Albert S. Ruddy.
I got home from my show last night and.
Canadian.
went to the room, turned on the TV, and Godfather 2 had started 10 minutes before. And I sat on the edge of the bed, fully dressed, and watched the entire fucking thing. Did you know there was an intermission in Godfather 2?
In the original Godfather?
No, Godfather 2.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's an intermission. And I forgot, I thought that he kissed Fredo in the house in Lake Tahoe, but in fact, it was in Havana.
No, on the dance floor or whatever.
Yeah, in Havana, right, right.
Ruddy lived, he died in May at 94 years old.
I got to tell you.
There's his alma mater, USC. I wonder if he knows how little they pay me. Let's move on. Ready? Front the page. Go for it, Mr. Politics.
President Donald Trump could decide this week to take the first steps to eliminate the Department of Education. They prepared an executive order directing Secretary Linda McMahon, which actually should be her title. She should be at a school as a secretary.
Chokehold it.
To begin the process of dismantling the department. So eighth grade boys across the country are chugging beer funnels and masturbating right now.
Oh, this is the ultimate snow day. Are you kidding me?
Here's what I looked up. Here's the thing about canceling the Department of Education. The long goal on this one is to get people using school vouchers. Here's the truth. And this isn't like us being a couple, you know, West Coast. The truth about school vouchers is they take money that is allocated for public schools so that everybody can get a good education, and it pulls that money out and it gives it to a private school. Here's the problem. 75% of vouchers in the states that have already enacted it are used by students already attending private schools. So they're wealthy families that are getting $10,000 a year to put towards the $30,000 or $40,000 a year it costs for that school. Here's the thing about that. If you're poor, $10,000 ain't fucking cutting it for you to go to a private school because you don't have the other 20 to add to the 10. It's a subsidy for rich people to send their kids. And when you say private schools, guess what? 90% of voucher recipients attend religious schools. So this is a way for the right to subsidize rich people getting a Christian education. End of story. Over. Stop it.
So even with all that money, they're not being taught about evolution?
Right? You'd think they'd have the funds to do a little fucking Google search.
Huh. All right.
Yeah.
Listen, if this story is true, I mean, it's worse. I think it might be worse than the trans mice problem that we have in this country.
Oh, my God, dude. Did you read that story? Can you explain it to the people?
Huh?
Can you explain that reference to
people?
Well,
he talked about that $8 million or something is going towards making mice trans. And so, first of all, so it's $8 million. So it's weird when you're talking about all the big work you have to do to cut down the budget. I mean, $8 million is honestly like the pennies that have fallen off the table compared to the rest of the budget. So why are you talking about this $8 million? Well, it contains that word trans. So the first theory was, is he confusing it with a study that was about transgene mice? And then it was recorrected, and in fact there was, but it was about hormone therapy and its effects on disease.
Yes.
That's what these studies were. And so one, I guess you could say it's like if you're putting enough of those hormones in a mouse, it will make them like trans. Anyway, that was said. That time was used when the whole world is watching and everybody's gathered to hear the leader of the free world talk, and he goes on about trans mice being one of the big problems.
And by the way, by big problem, they spent $8 million doing tests on mice that had nothing to do with sexuality. In the meantime, the government has spent $10 million on Trump playing golf since he took office. Let's go to this
one. He is not going to trans into a good golf player. That's just not going to happen.
Actually, he's surprisingly not bad for
his age.
I know.
Hate seeing it.
Yep.
And that age, dude, you know what? Say what you will about this guy. Like, obviously he can appear out of it sometimes and all that, but I have a dad that's in his, mid-80s now, and Trump's like a pretty strong person. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he seems with it. Like, if I had a grandfather like that, I'd put that behavior and the way he carries himself and the way I see him play golf in his 70s, not 80s.
Four more years!
Oh,
four
boy. Is that what I just said?
All right, let's do this next story. Mystery of why...
Okay, the mystery of why women age better than men may finally be solved. I saw this article this week, and it's the mystery of why may finally have been solved by scientists. Women tend to live about 5 years longer than men and often avoid the severe mental decline and heart problems that plague the opposite sex. So what do you think they found is the cause of women, of men dying 5 years before women?
They want to. It's just yes. Sheer will. Yeah.
It's will?
It's sheer will. I was just in Florida, so I got a big eyeful of this phenomenon. I mean, you sit around the pool, there are four women for every guy. They're all widows. It's crazy. And my mom being one of them. I would say it has something to do with estrogen.
No, it's that women are spared. They don't carry around the weight of accountability for their whole life. And so
they're
less, their heart is less strained. So it's weird. It's weird.
Wow.
No, I'm trying to look for the article. I thought I kept it open. But what it is, I can remember it, is they have that extra X chromosome, I believe. Please don't correct me because I might have some of this wrong. It's generally this. They have this X chromosome, but it's not that it's not there. It lays dormant. And then in the second half of life, the theory is that it starts to get activated. And when it does, it protects things. It produces hormones and enzymes that I think, I don't know about enzymes, but hormones that protect the brain more and the heart more.
Huh.
So it's almost like they have a time release capsule when they're born.
And they choose not to use it until they're older. I that's what it is. Because, you know, once they get all the money, they need that extra energy to go have some fun with it.
I think it's different. I think it's once the husband kicks it, they're like, what's a budget? And right. Then they need right. That thing to kick in, that hormone that's kind of like, hey, I got to spend less than I make.
Speaking of older women, actress Cheryl Hines reportedly gave her husband, Robert F. Kennedy, an ultimatum to move her to Washington following his recent sexting scandal with political journalist Olivia Nuzzi. Nuzzi?
You'd think it would be the opposite. Like, you got to move me out of here. Yeah. I can't watch this. I can't be with you.
I know. Reportedly, she ordered Kennedy to move her to California out of fear that his, quote, lust demons would overwhelm him during his time serving his role in Trump's cabinet. She also accused him, and this woman, Nuzzi, accused him of some kind of sexual impropriety. She also accused him of talking dirty to her, but he said, that's just my spasmodic dysphonia.
That's the sexy talk?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm wondering, is there a vaccine for lust demons that he didn't take? It sounds like quite an affliction.
I think being married to Cheryl Hines might be one.
Yeah.
The New York Post reported that Kennedy was investigating a potential lawsuit against Nuzzi, who allegedly, quote, bombarded him with increasingly pornographic photos and videos. Nuzzi last week claimed the two were sexting prior to her being placed on leave by her employer. This had nothing to do with romance. DeBecker said he was being chased by porn.
Oh.
And which is tough because try running with an erection and a handful of lotion.
I have never outrun porn. I'm gonna come clean.
Yeah, but I think you fake give up. I think you do that thing like, no, no.
No, don't. Yeah, I leave the hand trailing behind. Don't catch me.
I'll tell you, porn chased me. It tackled me to the ground, pulled my pants around my ankles, and then jerked me off and kept me from writing a script.
Oh, no. It knows how to mess up your plans.
Yeah.
It really interferes. It gets in the way for sure.
Yeah, it's a chase. It's a chase.
Is this yours about or
that's yours, isn't it? Oh no, that's mine.
I think so.
Passengers aboard a Southwest flight are shaken up after a naked woman delayed their flight on Monday.
I saw the footage. Go ahead.
The flight from Houston to Phoenix had to return to the gate due to the incident. A passenger sent a video to ABC Houston showing a woman who appeared at the front of the cabin topless, causing a scene. The viewer said the naked woman paraded on board for 25 minutes before action was taken. 25 minutes for people to react. She must have had a great set of cans. People are just like, hold on, hold on.
I don't.
Hear her out.
You're right. That could have been. I saw the footage, and let me just say, she could have been helped a lot if this plane also landed upside down. That would have helped her a lot. Yeah.
So her tits were also Southwest?
The blur that I saw on the video was hard to contain the whole image.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great. As if there weren't enough guys already pulling out their dicks on Southwest flights.
Yeah, that's why you go there. Hawaiian shirts, shorts, flip-flops, and indecency. But this is what you get, Southwest, when you don't assign us seats. The poor woman just lost it trying to find a seat, a center seat on the plane. And but their slogan used to be, low fares, nothing to hide. You know what? Something should be hidden. Something should be hidden,
good
Southwest.
Good pull. Good mental pull on that one.
Yeah.
Let's All do right, some entertainment.
Entertainment. Listen. I'm not celebrating this story. It's not fun. But boy, did the headline, it did make me chuckle. Oh, why am I saying that? Anyway, judge shot wife to... okay. Judge shot wife to death during spat about money while drinking and watching Breaking Bad. So an Orange County Superior Court judge had been drinking and arguing with his wife while out to dinner and later inside the family home when his wife dared him to point a gun at her, which he did. The judge pulled a loaded gun from his ankle holster, yes, judge, and fatally shot his wife while their adult son looked on. It is very Breaking Bad. He then sent a cryptic message to his court clerk and bailiff, and he told them, I just lost it. I just shot my wife. I won't be in tomorrow. I will be in custody. I'm so sorry. So, listen. This is how good Anna Gunn is, who played Skyler White in Breaking Bad. You want to kill all wives. I remember what it was like watching that.
This is a very anti-wife podcast for you, Mike.
No, not me.
Is this the anniversary of your divorce or something?
No, not me. I'm talking about Breaking Bad.
Yeah, right.
You're like, right. She's getting in the way. She's going to blow it.
I would think that if you were a judge of all people, you would know not to leave a voice message admitting that you just did it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
No, worse than that. He wrote it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he got confused and he called a fast food chicken restaurant and said he wouldn't be at work tomorrow. Like, what? You don't work here.
Those Mexican brothers or cousins are coming to get us.
Yeah. Before he shot her, he goes, I am the danger.
Yes, exactly. He must have put a little line in there. I'm at the door. Some little line before he pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
Especially if you thought the gun was empty.
Yeah.
But you're not going to keep an empty gun in an ankle holster, are you?
I'm guessing.
Why even have it?
I'm guessing his lawyer is going to opt for the trial with just a judge, no jury. Maya Hawke says, this is, of course, Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman's daughter, who is strikingly beautiful, worked as a model. She's the star of Stranger Things. She's been in a million things. She's only like 24 years old. And she said that She wanted to delete her Instagram account, but she hasn't been able to because, unfortunately, in this day and age, it could be the reason she doesn't get cast in a film role. Quote, the line between actor and celebrity has gotten extremely blurry, Maya said. What I always wanted to be is an actor, where the work is what the draw is, not the personhood. But the industry keeps changing, and you have to change with it and understand that all these things are getting blurred. Oh, she said on the internet, Maya called it really difficult. It's like, I don't care about Instagram, but, you know, it's a really confusing line to walk. Well, Jesus, I'm sorry. She's like, it's really, she goes, right now, if you have over this many followers, you can get the movie funded. Well, I want to make a movie, so it's a real confusing line to walk. Gee, where are you going to come across $1 million to fund a movie? I mean, how about The Kitchen? The Living Room?
You have a resume already. What is she talking about?
I have no
idea. You were
idea.
In Stranger Things. I just looked her up because I didn't know who she was in Stranger Things. She played the monster?
She's the star of Stranger Things.
Is she the little girl?
Yes.
No.
Yes. I think so. Isn't she?
I don't think so.
No. She's in season 2. She comes on friend. Yeah.
Right. She's the friend. Yeah.
And she's distractingly pretty. And I'm so sorry that things have not worked out better for you, Maya. I mean, she was basically born on third base and is now complaining she can't take a limo to home plate.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Listen, forget Instagram, but you got to get in OnlyFans and show your feet. You want to be in a Tarantino movie like your mom?
By the way, that's what you got to do.
She
has the same feet as her mom.
Are they great? You're saying it like I know what you're talking about.
They're not great. They're long. They're long and a little bony, but in a good way.
All right. Let's just move on to Florida. Make America Florida. Here we go. Florida man calls 911 asking for help to assassinate Trump. On February 26, deputies arrived at the home of this guy who dialed 911 multiple times. During one call, he allegedly asked for a ride to the airport. I've never thought of that. I always do Uber and Lyft. I'm so uncreative. You can do 911 now.
Right.
So he could travel to the White House to, quote, assassinate Trump. Blaxton also said he had hacked into a missile system and would launch them to destroy New York City. He added that his missiles were attracted to Trump Tower in New York. So among the things he said on his 911 calls, I already said he wanted a ride to the airport, so he'd go to the White House to assassinate him. I'm a mass murderer. Come get me. That's another thing he said. I want Donald Trump at my house. Tomorrow is his last day on Earth, and I'm a hacker, and I hacked into the missile silos. I'm about to launch fucking missiles to destroy New York. I'm a Confederate soldier, and I'm getting revenge. My missiles are attracted to Donald Trump's tower. It's like the judge. He might have incriminated himself a little.
A little bit.
I think.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm a Confederate and I'm getting revenge. I mean, against who? The guy that is literally trying to rebuild the Confederacy right now?
Yeah. What are you doing?
It's too bad that he didn't, when he called 911, he didn't get a cop from the Capitol, because that guy would have actually given him a ride to the airport.
Yeah. Right. That's a good one. Yeah, look, crazy people seem to, even crazy violent people, for some reason, Trump's losing them in his camp. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I know. This is his base. His base is turning on him in the second month of the presidency.
And a Florida man.
Should we go to Kentucky?
Here we go. Make Kentucky Florida. A woman is arrested after the... You're right. This is an anti-woman. I don't know what's going on with me. Woman arrested after a man comes into Kentucky Sheriff's Office with multiple stab wounds.
Oh, my God.
The Allen County Sheriff's Office said Jeff Cook entered the sheriff's office on Wednesday asking to speak with a deputy. Further investigation revealed that Cook had been stabbed several times. Deputies arrested Jacqueline, his wife, in connection to the stabbing. She was charged with second-degree assault, domestic violence, and then taken to the detention center. So here's, this guy's a cool cucumber. He walked in and he politely asked to talk to someone. He's like, wife got a little out of hand.
Yeah, right. He waited in line.
Can I talk to someone about this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to tie up the lines. I know you're getting 911 calls. People are asking for rides now. So the 911 is very busy. So I decided to walk in here with all my stab wounds and just say, the wife, you know, the wife's going through it.
Yeah.
And then she went through me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you're gonna report your wife, don't call from the house where you're currently being stabbed. I think you want to, let's do an in-person report.
Maybe he'd already been in there. And so the cop's in there. He's like, well, it's good to see you without a shiner this time. How are you doing? Well, your desk is pretty high. You probably can't see my torso. I'm not doing so hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't go with fisticuffs this time. But it did remind me very quickly. I've told this story before, but for anyone who hasn't heard it, I'll make it quick. But in Boston, we did wind up in a lawsuit, and we wound up in court with a landlord who was like unjustly keeping our security deposits and all that stuff. So he threatened violence against us and me. And then my dad had said, like, hey, listen, that'll help when you eventually get in court. If he's threatening you, get that on record. I'm like, all right, how do I do that? He goes, you got to go report it to the police station. I go into Boston Police Station. There's the guy. I walk up. I'm like, yes, I'd like to report threats of violence against me. And he looks at me. He's like, okay. He's like, and he gets to the part. He's like, okay, give me a description of this guy that threatened you. I'm like, I don't know. He's probably around 5'6". He stops writing and he looks at me. And I'm like 5'6", 5'7", looks at me. And then I'm just like looking at him. I'm like, come on, man. And he's like, okay. He's like, how much does he weigh? And he starts to write again. I go, I don't know, like 140. One of these, he puts down the pen. He goes, sounds like you could stick this guy up your ass. I'm like, that's not the point, my man. I need paperwork.
That's hilarious.
I wonder if you walk in, I wonder if this cop might have been like, you sure you can't handle it? Like, you did walk in here.
Yeah.
You sure you can't handle this on your own?
Dude, he's a fucking... He's probably a queer. If he's that small, he's probably fucking gay. Get out of here.
And it's in Kentucky. Like, yeah, they act up, but you got to keep your lady in line.
Yeah. Let's do some sports.
Let's do some sports. Here we go, sports. All right.
I got an email from somebody. FYI, I think your cousin Denny is actually, this is Denny McCarthy, the golfer, is actually your first cousin once removed, not your second cousin. Denny's dad and you have the same grandparents, right? Yes. Okay. So he is my first cousin once removed, not my second cousin. By the way, in Florida, it's total coincidence. I'm at my mom's 15 minutes away. There's a golf tournament that Denny's in. So on Sunday, my other cousin, Robbie, also coincidentally, was in town. And we walked the course. We walked the whole 18 holes with him. It was fun as shit.
If Denny gets arrested and goes to jail for life, is he twice removed? Your cousin twice removed?
Because he was removed from the house?
He's removed from society, yeah. I don't even know what that cousin removed stuff is.
Yeah.
Better word than removed.
And if he's also like
removed,
emotionally shut down, is he thrice removed if he's in jail?
He's your first cousin once removed and quite distant. Is he a distant relative? Oh, he doesn't even make eye contact.
Yeah. California Governor Gavin Newsom suggested Democrats were in the wrong in allowing transgender athletes to participate in female college and youth sports. He says, I think it's an issue of fairness. I completely agree with you on that. It's an issue of fairness. It's deeply unfair. He said this in his debut podcast. This is Gavin Newsom.
It should be changed to, his podcast should be called Who is Gavin Newsom? Because
right?
That's a bit of a flip-flop there.
Right. So, anyway, they were talking about A.B. Hernandez, a transgender high school track star from California, whose triple jump event in the women's competition is drawing fierce backlash from the right. Well, here's how you solve that. I mean, just even it out. I think we should allow her to do two of the jumps. You only count the first two in the triple jump.
What, did you just come up with a real solution?
No, the triple jump is three jumps in a row. And I'm saying if you're transgender, they only count the first two.
Gotcha. I didn't follow that.
No.
Well, he did say some eloquent stuff about having some grace and humility in how this subject is dealt with, and that these people face lots of, there's a tremendous suicide rate. They're bullied and they're up against a lot of obstacles. And so it's interesting though that he did this. I don't have any jokes on it. I'm just wondering what his thinking is. I don't know if he's very much a politician, obviously. I'm wondering if he's sensing the way the wind is blowing. I happen to agree with him. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I do know that it is unfair, if that's the word we're going with, if that's the litmus test here, if that's the question, I do think it's unfair when trans women compete against women in some circumstances.
Well, not if you got money on it. Then I fucking love it.
Who's that comedian who's like, listen, I don't know how I feel on the issue. Could you please put all my money on that beautiful woman with the size 11 feet?
Yeah, I mean, Gavin Newsom and his wife were both college athletes. He was...
baseball.
He was baseball. I can't remember what she did, but they were both college athletes. So, you know, I think he probably understands what it would mean to work your whole life and get to a place. And then I think honestly, I don't know what the solution is. Maybe there's a third league where trans athletes compete, both female and male trans athletes compete. I don't know. Is there something there?
That would be wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be like the NBA?
Yeah.
Is that what you're proposing?
Yeah. It would be the LGBTQ NBA. All right, yeah, let's go. Let's go into. Nah, we don't need this story. Let's
maybe
go
Bronny. Bronny could play in that league.
Oh, right.
Where are we going down to this day in history?
Let's go down to this day in history.
I gotta find this, man. Here we go.
Oh, Jesus! Here we go.
Oh no, I got him. I got him.
You don't
it's really
got
this,
him. You don't it, got him.
It's this weekend in history, really. Here we go. You're not gonna know the Battle of the Merrimack, although you would probably get close to it.
Battle of the Merrimack sounds like a Revolutionary War battle, so I'm going to guess.
I'm going to give you 2 years.
Okay. I'm going to guess 1778.
I should have given you 102 years.
What?
1862. Didn't you just say Civil War?
Oh, I was thinking Revolutionary War. That's what I meant.
Oh, I know what you were thinking.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, here we go. You ready? George Burns. You know that guy.
Of course. Love George Burns.
His career in showbiz spanned 93 years. He died at the age 100. Remember we were waiting for him to have his 100th birthday at Caesars, I think it was?
Oh, that's right. Right.
I'm helping you out here.
Yep.
Give or take 3 years, what year do you think George Burns died?
All right, so he was 100 years old. I remember he was born in the 1800s. I remember that when he died. So let's say he was born in 1896.
Did I give you a range? I'm going to give you 3 years on either right. side.
1896, so I would say 1996.
He was dead. He died in 1996.
No. Yes. Yeah, baby.
Okay, we just got educated on this.
Just give me no years from now on. No years.
You want no years?
Just 1 year. Give me 1 year on any of these.
I have one coming up where I'm going to give you no years.
Okay.
But anyway, the whole country was just recently educated on this. Barbie, a toy doll that became an international sensation despite criticism, was introduced by Mattel on this day in what year? You don't want a range?
Yeah, give me a range. I was just kidding.
5 years. That gives you an 11-year window, buddy.
All right. I seem to remember her being like a go-go dancer, so that would have been the 60s. Maybe before that, she was very like housewifey. That feels like 50s. I definitely don't think it was the 40s. So I'm going to say 61.
Oh, 1959.
How many years did you give me?
5. You got it.
Yay now.
I'm not going to do this because you would get it because it's World War II. But, dude, the U.S. Army Air Forces bombed Tokyo with napalm on this day in 45. Killed 80,000 civilians.
No.
Destroyed a quarter. I know. How do we forget? We want to forget that. That's why.
Wow.
Destroyed a quarter of the city.
Damn.
And that wasn't even the headline. Not even close to the headline of what we did to them.
Holy shit.
Yep, they wouldn't surrender. I mean, that's what was going on then. And I'm not blaming. That sounded like I'm blaming them. That's what was the context, I think, there. Okay, here we go. Give or take 500 years.
Oh.
The Parthenon was consecrated in Athens.
Wow. The Parthenon. Let's see. After Christ. Right? Yeah. After Christ. I don't know. The year 1000?
I should have given you 1,000 years. 432 BCE.
No way. Really?
Way. You think that had anything to do with Christ?
Damn.
There was a whole other set of gods.
Damn.
All right, let's find one more. I remember I had one.
Jesus is younger than I thought.
Oh, we did. I think we once did when Buffy the Vampire Slayer came out. What year? You did not do well on it. I wonder if we've been doing this for
you. You want to retest me?
Well, just tell me what year Buffy came out.
I'm going to guess Buffy came out after we got out of college, so 1990.
97.
Okay. Guess I'm not learning.
Let me find the one. Alexander Graham Bell. He's fun. But hold on now. Oh, yeah, maybe that was the one. Okay, here's one. This is like one of those, how's your recent memory? Oh. All right, this is the one. Give or take 0 years, the World Health Organization, remember them, declared that COVID-19 outbreak was a pandemic.
2020.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't know if you thought maybe it was the end of 19 or it was delayed when they officially declared it. Here's another one. Recent history. Last one we'll do. Japan was struck by that earthquake and the following tsunami.
Oh, yeah.
Give or take two years. What recent year do you think that was?
I remember watching a report on it on 60 Minutes. That was probably 6 years ago. So let's say 2019.
Isn't that amazing how you're like, especially recently and as you get older, 2011.
Wow. No shit.
I know, right?
Damn.
All right. We're moving on to letters to the editor.
Very anti-woman and very anti-Japanese today, Mike.
What's that?
Very anti-woman and anti-Japanese today.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
All right, let's
imagine if there's a Japanese woman out there. Good luck with me.
Yoko Ono, I got somebody for you.
Yeah.
These are the funnies. We do the caption, the comic caption contest. Please send your submissions into fitzdogradio@gmail.com. Love it if you put your name right underneath your joke. And if you win, you will get a koozie mailed to you by Postmaster General Mike Gibbons Jr.
I get right on it. You see how diligent I am.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, we started it, yeah.
And this last week's caption was, it looks like a dude with long hair, kind of like old rocker, maybe surfer kind of guy. He's got his hand raised facing the bailiff, who also has his hand raised. He's being sworn in. The judge looks bored behind them. He's got his palm on his face. And the hippie-looking dude has his mouth open, so he's doing the speaking. Rich Butchko, who chimes in every week. God bless him, and he usually makes it in. What's up, dude? Doge sent me. I'm the new Chief Justice for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals or whatever.
Wait, did you just skip letters to the editor?
Oh, I did. Okay. Did you just introduce letters to the editor?
I sure did.
Jesus.
By the way, we can skip it.
I took Ritalin today, and it wore out, I think, right before we started. No, let's go back. Letters to the editor. Landon said, I learned the way to get better fries at In-N-Out Burger. Ask them for light well done. They're much better. You can also get well done, but they're too crispy, almost burnt. You're welcome. Landon,
nope, I'm getting well
thank
done.
Thank you. Oh, I think I'm going to get well done also. Because the fries, they make them right in front of you. They take the potatoes, they smash them through the grinder, the fries come out, they put
too
them
fresh.
Right into the fryer. Too fresh. They're
not
cooked
ingredients.
Enough.
Not enough ingredients.
Brett Lackman says, tell Gibby to fuck off. Don't ever come to Philly. E-A-G-L-E-S. Oh, he spelled it right. Just kidding. Love you guys.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. I can't come to Philly? Aw. You know when I will go there? If there's one of those things, like some horrific virus or whatever, that would like just wipe out life there. And then, what a beautiful city.
Wow.
Especially the Japanese women. They wouldn't exist there.
You beat me to it. By the way, t-shirts and koozies are available. The t-shirts, people are wearing them to the show. I should post all the pictures of all the people that wear the Sunday Papers t-shirts to the shows. If you wear a Sunday Papers t-shirt to one of my shows, you will get in free, as a matter of fact, at any club in the country, and not just for me. Just walk up to the front desk, show them the t-shirt, and you will get in free at any show, any club in the country.
Even if you're not there, you're saying?
Even if I'm not there. Even if it's like an arena. Say it was like Bert Kreischer at an arena. Doesn't matter. I've already called.
Seems like a Fitz fact, but let's try it.
Go to FitzDog.com, get yourself a t-shirt. And now we're in the Sunday Funnies. I've already done the intro.
But was there an obituary this week?
I didn't notice anyone who died.
I block out negative things, so I can't remember if someone died this week. That bummed me out.
I'll tell you right now because I have it in my thing. Celebrity deaths. Dwayne Wiggins, co-founder of Tony, does not make the cut. Some Baywatch actress.
There's
died.
Still Tony. Oh, yeah, Baywatch. I saw that headline.
Some Knott's Landing star. No, nobody important died this week. Oh.
All right, so we're in the funnies. You already described the frame of the hippie dude being sworn in.
All right, so the second one is from Dick Butkus. He says, I swear the chicken was hitting on me all night. He fucked a chicken, I think. Mm-hmm. Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Sean Johnson says, like Zoinks, man, the dog told me to do it. So that was
a lot of people,
Scooby-Doo meets Son of Sam reference there. Michael T. said, I'm California sober. Are you Dominican Republic legal?
Not exactly sure what that one means.
Zach from Yuma said, my truth is different than your truth, bro.
Okay.
Brian Walker said, you want me to promise a guy in the sky I won't lie, but I'm the one on trial for drugs?
That's not bad thinking.
Yep. Stovetop is the guy's name. Said, Your Honor, T County of Milwaukee versus Lockjaw.
The problem is Lockjaw's talking,
Jeff Langa said, courtrooms in 2029. Quote, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you Trump?
Ooh, pretty political
there,
Jeff.
Very political, although this podcast has been exceedingly political. I don't know what's going on.
I tried to keep it to hating women.
Bob said, cut the crap with the solemn swear. We can both see the tan line on your finger. Is that a marriage thing? Is that like when guys slip off their wedding rings?
Maybe, yeah. Huh.
Okay, all right. It's a tough one. I gave you guys a tough
one. I kind of like the first one by Rich Butchko.
What's up, dude? Butchko. Doge sent me. I'm the new Chief Justice for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals or whatever. Rich Butchko. I like that. I also like the one about you want me to promise a guy in the sky I won't lie, but I'm the one on trial for drugs.
I do like that, too. Should we flip a coin?
Flip a coin. Brian Walker is heads.
Who gets heads?
Heads is you want me to promise a guy in the sky I won't lie. Brian Walker.
Heads is a guy in the sky. Here's our coin from golf. Here we go. And this, and on the hand, it's tails.
Tails. So the winner is Butchko. Rich Butchko with What's Up, Dude? Doge sent me. Congratulations. As always, I need you to email me at fitzdogradio@gmail.com. Tell me you won. You'll get
your Butchko,
koozie.
You're going to be enjoying that koozie like late summer, man. It's going to keep those August beers nice and cold.
Yeah, you don't need it till Labor Day. Next week's frame is...
Okay.
I guess...
Can I say something at this juncture?
Yeah.
We've used this picture.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You got a new one?
Yeah, let me find another picture.
You find another picture. Should I go ahead and read Doonesbury because it's a long one?
Yeah, do that.
All right, here's Doonesbury, man. Jesus Christ. 1, 2. It's 9 panels, 3 across and 3. Well, really, it's 8 panels. Okay, so I don't know any of these names. There's a like hippie-looking dude walking down the stairs. And he hears crunch, crunch, munch. Second frame. Sounds like the Midnight Masticator. Already I'm out. Then he gets to the island in the kitchen. Shit, man, I can't read this. It's blurry. And he goes, tell me, father. I think that's what it says. It's probably not important. And then he goes, oh, fuck, man, I got to go find this. Sorry. What a disaster.
I found a comic, so we don't need it.
We don't need it. I have to go. Okay, go ahead. You go ahead, but I'm going to find this so I can read the goddamn thing.
All right.
It's not maintaining its quality in the dock.
All right, so this particular comic is, it's a line of traffic. It's five lanes of traffic. Everybody's sitting there. They're upset. It's almost all men. It's all men because they work and women don't. And there is a woman walking between the cars in traffic that are at a standstill. And she is scantily dressed. She's got hosiery held up with garters and a mini dress, big boobs, mouth is open. She has a glass in her hand and she has one of those old timey trays that goes around her neck that's holding it looks like cigarettes and snacks, and she's clearly selling her wares. There's a guy behind that has the cup in his hand, he's drinking it. There's a guy in another car that's yelling out to her. So she is one of those, like, you know, cigars, cigarettes, Tipperillos, those, one of those old-timey gams that sells stuff. And she's in traffic. So
I can't see that, so I'm going to take your word for it. It hasn't updated in the dock.
Now, let me put it in the dock for
you.
Okay,
so, by the way, it wasn't my fault. I just went back to the website that has this 10 funniest Doonesburys ever or whatever, and it's blurry on here, too, probably because it's so many words. So he gets down to the stairs. He gets to the audience. He goes, tell me, father. And there's the father eating a bowl of cereal. And he goes, the midnight bowl of cereal, right? A chance nocturnal meeting of two old antagonists in the pantry. Next frame. Who's still reading this? It's got possibilities, you know. It's very unexpectedness. Suggest an escape from the trite, overworked conflicts we play out at less opportune moments. Next frame, we could talk. We could be human. We could let it happen. Second to last frame. Dad, such moments are rich with promise. What do you say? And the dad says, negative. And then in the last frame, the dad is now walking away, leaving kind of the hippie guy at the table. And he goes, turn out the lights when you finish, bozo. Well, boy, what a satisfying ending to that long journey we were just on.
Well, yeah. I mean,
yep,
it's
the
dry.
Old flowery language device.
Yeah, yeah. It's dry. It's kind of an Archie Bunker kind of a situation, obviously, with the son and the dad who's kind of old school.
I think Archie would have engaged and been funny.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
There you go.
Let's get down to Hagar the Horrible. Lucky, his sidekick, is sitting in a bar talking to a woman, and all you see above him is blah, 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 blah. Second frame, he goes, yikes, I've talked your right ear off. I guess that's why God gave us two ears. And she's looking at him like, you're fucking crazy, dude. And then in the third frame, she's walking out the door and she goes, and two legs.
Hmm.
Let me tell you about those two legs, sweetheart. You better start pumping them violently in a mad dash to escape a sexual assault. Lucky may seem like a wimp, but it's the medieval times. Even a guy like him is dangerous. You don't turn your back on him and walk out of a bar.
No, he's the one that's like, he's the dangerous one. He's emasculated by the real Vikings and stuff. He has a chip on his shoulder.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of chip on his shoulder, here's Leroy and Loretta are standing at the door. They've just opened it. There's three people standing there. And she says, it seems some storm chasers accidentally picked up one of our arguments on their radar.
I like that.
I had another one from them, but I can't find it.
Let's keep it moving.
Let's go to Blondie. They're in bed, and Dagwood has a book out, which is unbelievable that this guy could be laying in bed with a woman. Again, she has a navy blue lingerie top with frills hanging off her fucking supple shoulder, the breast heaving against the comforter. And he's sitting there with a book and donut pajamas. If I could only switch. So she says, does your husband harbor any microaggressions towards you? She's reading her iPad. And then he goes, micro what? And he goes, why do those surveys always try to paint husbands as hotheads? And she goes, so I'll check A, my husband is anti-survey. Now she, as always, turns her pretty back to this fucking loser to cry into the pillow about the choices she's made. And then she goes, cheer up, honey. Scoring 7 out of 10 on the hotheads index isn't that bad. Micro what? She obviously would have said micro penis. If I was writing this, micro penis.
You can't score higher than a 7 out of 10 on the hothead if there's zero passion, you donut boy.
Oh, God. What's it going to take? When's he going to snap out of it? All right. When are you guys going to snap out of it and pick yourselves up some Sunday Papers t-shirts? We're so happy to send them out to you. Some say take it ish. So they're high quality cotton. Get on the website now, fitsdog.com, pick some up. Mike, anything you want to promote this week?
We talk about it every week, but I mean, next week we might start talking about our 5th anniversary.
Oh,
I think it's been.
Yeah, next week we already
chose.
Can you
believe we're 5 years younger when I started sitting in this closet?
Oh my God. Don't
it's weird.
It like that. Jesus.
Yeah.
Our 5-year anniversary is next week, and we will be announcing
the sale. Is
it next
week? I just said we'd look into it, but okay.
It's
next
week.
You're running with the
ball. Yeah, it's next week. And we will be.
I want to get a Sunday Papers baseball cap, y'all.
Everybody does. Everybody's been begging for it. We made them. They're made. They will be sent to you. The Sunday Papers, it says 5th anniversary hats. They're going to be a collector's item. They're going to be found in your basement in a bag next to some baby photos. But you'll have it, and you'll enjoy it.
Best part, I'm not mailing them.
No, these are going to be from a professional company, the same ones that send out the t-shirts, which you get within like 10 days. And we haven't figured out the price yet. We'll announce it next week. But it's going to be very reasonable. We're not looking to make a lot of money here. We just want you guys walking around with these stupid hats on. All right. That'll do it.
That's it, man.
Thank you guys for listening.
And I think we all got to take it ish.
Take it ish.
There it goes.
Whoa.
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone loving to this.
Your mama in the fucking stand.
Welcome. Welcome to Sunday Papers with Mike Gibbons.
And Greg Fitzsimmons.
Welcome to Sunday Papers.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.